You know, when you give someone a gift, you want them to enjoy it immediately. No complicated setup, batteries required, assembly, things that make people frustrated. There's so many reasons to love Aura digital frames. But honestly, what might be my favorite are these three words: no assembly required. You start by downloading the Aura app for free, which takes no time to get the frame ready. And then you can preset the Wi-Fi in the frame and upload pictures beforehand. So all the grandparents have to do is unbox it and plug it in. Super simple. It's such a great gift, even for the most tech unsavvy people in your life. Save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code ZABE at checkout. That's Aura Frames, AuraFrames.com, promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. This deal is exclusive to my listeners, so get yours now in time for the holidays. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Minnesota. This will be key again tonight. Play action from Darnold. End zone. Touchdown, Jefferson.
Oh, beauty. Go. Okay. I was wrong about Sam Darnold. It does happen, Charge, from time to time, and this is a case of me completely missing what you saw in this square-headed ginger. What a game last night as the Vikings moved to 12-2, leg for leg, step for step, with the reeling Detroit Lions, who got more bad news on Monday as is it Knuckles that's out for the year, not Sonic?
Yep, Knuckles out, Sonic still alive.
Yeah.
But yep, it's over for the Knuckles.
I'm very sorry. I've got a phone call coming
pressing matters.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's my dad, actually, so I'm gonna put him on hold for 30 minutes. Could be just a random pocket call. Steven, we got to get out to a casino, you know? We haven't been out to play blackjack in a while. All right, Dad, we'll work on that.
That sounds like a great dad to me. My dad is, can I come over and play some Godzilla on your pinball machine?
Yeah, that's right.
And have a couple of whiskeys? Yeah, you can.
Yes. Sure.
Yes, you can.
Any day, Dad. Wow, what a game. There is so much to unpack, but in terms of Sam Darnold, I saw you today posted a poll on your Twitter feed, Charge, that said, what would you rather do? Sign him to a 3 to 4 year, $50 million a year contract, or sign and trade for a couple of draft picks, which you hinted would be a first and a third?
Well, sure. I mean, you're a quarterback needy team. Teams pay this much just for the right to go get a quarterback. You know, that's an easy ask.
Wow.
It might be more than
you think the market would bear excuse my voice, you think the market would bear that much money for Darnold?
Yes.
And a first and a third for a guy who's what, 30 years old now?
27.
27, got, okay.
Yeah, I in mean, that's prime, a big difference.
In his
he's
prime.
He's in his prime. He's coming this season. He's not going to win the MVP. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. He's right in that next tier of play right now. And I think the Vikings, who control his rights and that they can put the franchise tag on him, right? So this is how it would go down. Either the Vikings just re-sign him, because maybe if you're going to play this well, don't let that quarterback out of the building. Or, although it blows up the cap plan. You know, the plan was to start J.J. McCarthy and have a three-year runway with no, you know, no meaningful cap hit from your quarterback.
Right.
This would upend the cap plan for sure and would cause a lot of distress for our general manager, who's got this thing all laid out and got us out of cap L with Kirk Cousins once already. But if you don't do that, you're not going to re-sign him. Vikings don't re-sign Sam Darnold. Instead, you franchise tag him. And now, he doesn't want to play under the franchise tag, and I don't think that would change anything. But you franchise tag him, and then you pawn him off for the highest bidder.
Wow.
For the and that team would then sign him to,
a,
you know,
a 4 years, bag,
$150 million.
Tag and bag with a trade. What would the trade return on a tagging situation?
See, I still think because you control the market, you need two teams that work against each other, which they're going to be there probably in the ballpark of a first and a third.
Oh, my God.
Because it's a starting quarterback, right?
And then you,
control,
you hope.
You control
and
it.
Then you hope that J.J. McCarthy is as good as you think he is.
Then you better get it right. You better get it right.
Fucking and get it right.
The Vikings fans are so, so enamored with the idea of getting a cheap quarterback that they are ready to make that move.
And are they really?
Polling suggests. My Twitter polls.
Latest polling.
Fans want
to
make that
let's go to Steve Kornacki at the big whiteboard here. What does the latest polling suggest?
He does a good job, by the way.
Oh, fuck him. I hate him. I went on a rant about him the other night.
Why do you hate him? I see a guy who's managing, like, you know, there's 5,000 counties in the U.S., and he's managing 5,000 counties.
No.
He's zooming
no,
in and
he's
out of
not.
The map and everything.
No, you've got the wrong guy. That's John King of CNN.
Oh, yeah, that's who I'm thinking of.
John who's King John is really Kornacki? Good. Steve Kornacki is the guy who has the signature khaki pants. And he stands in front of the big board and he explains. So what we have here is there's 12 electoral votes in Vermont. And he does all these exaggerated motions. He started doing it in the election in 2016. He's parlayed that into a fucking career. We're watching him with the sound off on Football Night in America. Because they need him to stand in front of the playoff possibilities board, and he's circling percentages. He's underlining this. He's drawing an arrow. And I said to my buddies at the bar, in the booth with us at the sportsbook at Pottawatomie in Milwaukee, I said, look at this idiot. He's not doing anything. He's just circling numbers. Even the average American midwit can read a simple graphic of numbers. Oh, the Packers have a 99% chance of making the playoffs. Oh, the Vikings have a 35% chance of winning the division. You don't need to circle them. And he's making all these exaggerated motions. And fuck him. Sorry. That's a side rant. Side rant over. So, yeah, let me start with how in love with Sam Darnold is the Viking fan base.
Well, it's been magnified by Kirk's
implosion.
Demise.
Oh, the Kirk haters have to be loving it right now.
I'm getting just roasted on Twitter. So, you know, back when all of this went down in free agency, I did not want Sam Darnold. You know, I just saw a guy with a track record of being a, you know, well, we know his track record. It
turd.
Was not good enough.
Straight.
And so I didn't want him.
Turd.
And
bust.
At that point, my preference was to stick with Kirk. Now, once Kirk got the deal, he got 4 years, $40 million a year. I was like, that was too much to pay. And I didn't want him at that price.
Right.
But in that moment before, when we had released Kirk, we had signed Sam and Kirk didn't, you know, I was like, I don't like this. As it's turned out, obviously, Darnold's been way better than thought, and Kirk has been just, it's over. So, Steve, it's done. I mean, that guy, there is no velocity on his passes.
No.
And that's the part I didn't see coming.
Well, I think we should have seen it coming because Kirk was always the grocery store that was profitable, but operated on a very tight margins. And now because of the Achilles and age, the margins on his arm strength and his mobility are not there anymore. Right. The margins only have to go down 5% for the entire equation to not work.
In the NFL, your margin is so small, right?
Right.
You know, the difference between a pass that just sneaks past the defender and one that gets intercepted by the defender is so small. And yeah, the Vikings were absolutely correct to get out when they did. And the fan base here is just reveling in both sides of it. Darnold playing well,
right?
Although he misfired on a lot of passes on Monday night, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, he played well enough for an easy victory. And then just seeing Kirk unravel before our eyes and feeling like, man, we dodged that bullet.
Yeah. So the tale of two cities, I really thought you guys would have fallen off this year, the Vikings, and sucked. It's exactly the opposite. You guys are right there poised to steal the division with three games left to play, including a showdown, your second showdown of the year with the Lions. The Lions are completely decimated. They lose one of their two stud running backs in addition to three defensive players on top of the seven defensive players they've lost already. Today you had Dan Campbell doing his typical Dan Campbell act, dropping F-bombs on the radio. Defiant speeches. <Did he? laughs> Oh, did you hear it?
No,
I didn't. Oh, I'm going to play it for you here in just a second. But yes, he is pretty much planting the stake in the ground saying we are not going out like this. And while I applaud him for doing so, it is often quite the case of the last thing you hear from a guy who knows his team is fucked.
Well, come on. They're not effed yet because they're still the Lions. They can score 50 points in any game.
They cannot stop anybody.
The defense is in amazingly bad shape. I don't.
And it's like, not going to get any better. Bad. Hutchinson said he'll be back if they make the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, they got to get there.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. They got to get there.
Here, tell me if you can hear this. This is from 97.1 The Ticket.
And look, I don't. You know what happens is, you know.
Can you hear that?
I cannot.
Son of a bitch. I hate it when this happens. How am I able to have you hear this down the line? I'd love to troubleshoot this right now. You know, Charge, everybody ordered a new headset literally between finding out that I was having audio problems with him and then reconnecting with me on StreamYard on his full broadcast setup. That's how quick he moves. You're like, I just ordered one already on Amazon. Yeah, I'm like, right now?
Yeah, and how important it is that I have a functional working headset with delivering the highest possible sound quality to your listeners, because you care about sound quality.
Right.
I know you do.
Right. Okay. Let's see here. I'm on the USB input now. Levels, that doesn't work. It's probably a mix minus thing when it's all said and done. I don't know if I can fix this on the fly on my machine right now. So,
I'll work around it.
All right. Here was Dan Campbell defiantly speaking. This is a minute 32. So go ahead and get a sip of water while I play this. Dan Campbell defiantly on 97.1 The Ticket today.
And look, I don't, you know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and everything's good. Life's good, you know. But you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your fucking molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are about to have an unbelievable opportunity here. And we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one. You're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right. If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a fucking smile from my ear to ear. All right. I can promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
Yeah, there you go. The defiant Dan Campbell, couple F-bombs there. Funny thing is, John Jansen, former Redskin, a guy who once tried to intimidate me because I was talking shit about Mark Brunell on the radio, said, why don't you come out here to Redskin Park and say that? He said that on the radio to me.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Like, okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to beat me up? Ooh, sorry. Sorry, I'm talking about your noodle arm quarterback who's killing us right now.
But you remember those days.
Dan Jansen. As soon with each F-bomb, Jansen's like he comes to alert and he turns and reaches for something like the dump button, but then waves to his producer like, no, it's okay, let it go. Funny how that is.
Yeah, isn't that weird? You can't let that go, by the way.
The F-bomb you still can't let go. Who knows? Now on TV with the punter McAfee, he's dropping shit bombs all the time. So shit and goddamn and all that stuff. Anyway, I digress. So there you go. So you don't think the line, what will it take to win the division? Win out for you guys, realistically?
Yeah, for the Vikings to win the division, they have to win the rest of their games. They've got tough games left. Seattle, well, I can't, your listeners
from
Green Bay will object to the notion that Seattle's a tough out.
If Geno's not playing, it's an easy out because Sam Howell's trash.
Sam Howell, how bad was Sam Howell? Mm. Oh, my God.
Woof.
Oh, my God. Now, granted, he got pulled in cold off the sidelines. He'll get more time with the starters this week, but 5 sacks in a third of a game? He came in with one third of the game left, and he took 5 sacks.
No, the Packers D-line, they were bum-rushing the buffet all night long against that Seahawks O-line.
Seahawks missing. Their starting center got knocked out. They were abusing him. The backup, it was all bad.
They were throwing it around.
So then it's Vikings-Packers for a game that has, I assume, would have some playoff significance for both teams.
A game that is currently still sitting at 1 o'clock Eastern has not been moved yet to 3:25.
Stay there.
You've gotten that confirmation today?
I have. I've gotten confirmation that is going to be the time for Vikings-Packers. It'll be a noon start. It has to do – they would have preferred to move it, but it has to do with who's got rights to, you know, move which games.
Well,
to do with it being on CBS the first time, and it can't be moved apparently to even a 3:15 start.
Oh, really? It's locked in. Okay. Yeah. Cause locked at first in. When we were eyeing that game, I said, well, if that thing has import and it does,
yes,
it surely would be sniffed as in Sunday Night Football. It would get sniffed by the schedule flexors, but they did not because the first meeting of the two was a CBS cross flex game. You know about the old cross flex, two NFC teams playing over on CBS, something that the networks lobbied for in their new TV contracts, that because of that, you now can't move it off of the 1 o'clock on Fox. You can't move it to the afternoon. There's other games going on. And they kind of want to save your Vikings for possibly week 18 against the Lions for the whole Megillah.
Yeah, that's the biggie right there, is the prospect of week 18, Vikings versus Detroit for the right to be the number two seed in the NFC. It looks like the Eagles are going to wrap up the number one seed. I don't think anybody's going to catch them. And that would be for the division in the number two seed. Sadly, the number two seed does not get the bye anymore.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel like they should reinstitute that or reinstate that?
I wish they would. Yes, I wish they would. But then they'd have to either go to add eight. Or subtract one more team from the playoff picture.
Right.
And it's already, it's kind of already too many teams in the playoffs.
I agree. Look at the bottom half of the NFC. The NFC, they're still listing in contention teams that are completely sunk and completely stink.
Yeah, the Saints are in contention. They're not mathematically been eliminated yet.
Ridiculous.
At this point. I think now, given where the Lions are right now and the way these teams are playing, the Vikings go to Detroit for that game. I think the Vikings will be favored because 15 players on IR. Another one's going to go on IR to make it 16 defensive players on IR.
Wow.
For the Lions, they have three special teamers on IR. Jesus. And they've got five offensive players on IR. It's crazy what has happened to the Lions. This is, I can't remember a team, or at least not a meaningful team, that has suffered this level of injuries.
Yeah, well, life is cruel. The NFL is unfair. Get used to it.
The NFL is unfair. Some people think it's karma, revenge, because one of the cornerbacks for the Lions, Kirby Joseph, has a history of ending season by tackling, diving at the knees of opposing receivers.
He sniped your guy Hockenson, and he also sniped
Got Hockenson.
Who else? There's two tight ends.
He got another tight end. He got another tight end last year.
I'll look it up right now. Who did Kirby Joseph injure? And he was unapologetic when the Packers met them couple weeks ago. Tucker Kraft said, look, I got something for that guy because I'm sticking up for my brethren in the tight end university. And Kirby Joseph started talking shit in the tunnel. There was a big fight that almost broke out before the game.
Yeah. F that guy. That's what I think. That guy aims for knees.
He also aimed for Kraft's knee on a play in which he was able to kind of jump and dodge it. So yeah,
he did. Yep. Absolutely. So, all right. So it might be a little karma for the Lions.
All right, let's talk about, I couldn't find the other guy that he hurt, Tyler Higbee.
That's it, Tyler Higbee, the other guy. Who's just coming back now, as he might play this week for the first time since last year.
He broke his Higbee's leg, if I recall. Caught him right on the tibia. Okay, that said, what did you think of the whites? First time ever the Vikings had worn white shell helmets with all white winter warning. I don't know if you call it winter warning. That's what the Packers call. They're all whites with the white shells. They had never worn that before in franchise history. Your franchise is far more willing to adopt new things than the conservative Green Bay Packers. Did you like it, Paul Charchian?
I loved it.
You loved it.
I loved it.
You were horny for it. I
loved it. Yes. I love the helmet. I want the all-white helmet from now on.
As a regular thing?
I do.
It needs to be a once a year thing like Christmas, my friend.
It won't be special if it's every week.
Right. So you liked it. Did the fan base like it?
Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was cool.
I think it's cool.
I don't want the NFL to go down the road of the NBA where they literally have seven jerseys per season. All kinds of city editions, throwbacks, faux backs, vintage.
Whoa. Have you seen the Prince edition Timberwolves jersey?
No. Is it hot?
It's badass. Yeah.
But baby. You have to disclose that you are a super Prince fan, having been a boy who grew up in the heyday of Prince in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it was a very, very big deal here, and it never changed because Prince is like the one.
There it is. It's purple.
That
purple with lavender letters and numbers. Yeah.
That's
and the Prince number logo or the font, I should say. The font looks like a Prince style font.
Yes. Yep. It was super cool.
When do they wear it?
So. Just in a rotation every now and again.
Okay, so it's in the mix.
I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason to it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I assume you being a knower and lover of all things Prince related, that you saw the Dave Chappelle bit about Prince and his legendary basketball exploits.
No.
Oh my God. I am going to give you something.
Dude can play. I know that, despite the fact that he was like 5'6".
Oh,
dude can play.
Oh my God. I'm going to give you something that is going to blow your mind. Chappelle Show, Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories about Prince. You need, okay, this is great. I'm giving George something that is going to blow his mind. Although I'm a little bit shocked you didn't already know that this thing existed. So no, here you go. Here you go right here. All right. So I'm gonna punch in. You can punch in with me because you can't hear it.
How about you and your friends versus me and the revolution?
So the legend was that Charlie Murphy was in Prince's mansion and he had a full-on basketball court and he didn't know that Prince could ball. And so therefore he challenges him to a game. I'm at 2 minutes and 16 seconds in right now.
I was like, this nigga must be joking, man. I don't know where you're going with this. He was dead serious. He had his helper or whatever go and get some like shorts and sneakers and gave them to us and laughing. I'm like, this is going to be some funny ass shit. So they come out, right? And I look at them and they still got on the same shit they be wearing. It was wild. And I was like, I know they ain't thinking about playing ball in that, but they were. I said, hey, you know what? You know what we're going to call this? The shirts against the blouse.
Shirts against the blouses.
And when I said that, this look came on his face. He asked you. And I'm looking back at him thinking to myself, you know, what are you angry about? I mean, you know where you got that shirt from. And the damn show wasn't the men's department. I mean, I kind of learned something that day. Don't never judge a book by its cover. This cat could ball, man.
Play ball.
He was crossing cat. Like, I crossed me up. Made my knees stand together. He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley. Snatching it down.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
So there you go, Charge. You can watch all 6 minutes at your leisure, but is your mind sufficiently blown with joy that this thing exists?
That's great.
That's good stuff.
I love it. I love it. That is really fun. Right, let's, and how good is Dave Chappelle, by the way?
Oh, he was. He still is great. Still is great. Yeah. And he speaks so much truth, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people. But he was so good on the Chappelle Show and did so many unbelievable skits that you have to be careful if you're watching him in mixed company because they're really fucking racist, you know? But he pulled it off. The racial draft.
He can do it.
Yeah, right. Okay. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. from fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So let's flip the coin on last night's game, and let's talk about the Bears, and let's talk about Caleb Williams.
Oh, did you love seeing Caleb on the bench?
Okay, let's go
I thought
right,
of you immediately.
Let's go right there. And it's not just me going, bro, pros don't do that. But it's guys like Emmanuel Acho, who is very pro player and is very quick to take up for a brother who might be getting criticized by us mean white guys online sitting on the couch with Cheetos dust on our shirts. Like, what do you fucking know? Okay, so when Emmanuel Acho is there going, bro, not a good look. So for those who might have missed it, Caleb Williams on a 3rd and 16 does a full Benny Hill skit. He's running around and doing all these unbelievable moves, dodging guys. Finally ends up after about 9 seconds backpedaling and heaving a balloon ball that could have been a 99-yard pick six, but was knocked down, luckily for him, and he gets crushed as he's launching it up in the air and then diving backwards. Slammed to the ground, limps off the field. They got to settle for a field goal, and he's seen on the bench, Caleb Williams, with his head back like this, like, oh, God, and then leaning over sideways, oh. And you, I'm of the school, Charge. You cannot do that if you're the starting quarterback of an NFL team. You must suffer in silence. You must hide your pain. I will be the body language police in this one specific case. Do you concur with me?
Yes. You never see a quarterback do this. This is reminiscent of Anthony Richardson tapping out earlier this year.
That's right.
Are a quarterback, you are going to get crushed from time to time. And you know what you do? You drag your body over to the sidelines and you just take it.
Right.
And he's over there and he's moaning and he's listing to one side. He's falling over. And Zabe, who came up to him to make sure he's okay?
Who
came up to Caleb Williams?
I did not see.
To check on him. Who came up to Caleb Williams to pat him on the back?
I did not see who.
Well, that's because it was nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody did.
They just
no
left him alone.
Came over.
So yeah, you're no saying. So over. You're saying the team is like, hey, we're all fucking hurt. It's the NFL. Don't you act like you're some hero. You're a martyr on the cross. Of course, this goes back to what a lot of us said was a huge red flag in college when he jumped into the stands and cried in his mom's arms after a loss at USC. Many of us said, who the fuck does that? Are you a grown-ass man or not? And many people said, oh, that's ridiculous. You need to stop being a Neanderthal. That's his mother. He loves his mom. And I'm just like, okay. The flag has been recognized. I'll stick it in the back of my mind. It's coming up again. In addition to this body language issue, Charge, the lack of ability to see wide open wide receivers right in front of him to move the chains on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4. I mean, they had a brutal cut-up that Troy Aikman tried to narrate as gently as possible, and it was a tough scene. They're like, look, wide open, look, wide open, look, wide open. And you could say, well, the system's bad, or there's a new coordinator, or he's young, or it's loud in there. Wide open. He wants to make every play a look at me scramble play. That's not the NFL. The NFL is not you know, that it's 2.5 seconds in the pocket, read, react, deliver on target. And then 10% of the time it's off schedule.
Yep. 10%. And that is, yep. And that's, this is when they go back and they're trying to make some tough offseason decisions, they're going to look, you know, they're going through this now, looking through the tape and like, it's third and five. There's a guy right in front of you at the 7 yard line. How do you not deliver that ball right in your field of vision? There's some weird stuff happening with Caleb here, and you can't blame it all on, on the coaching staff or the scheme. Some of this is on him, and they're going to have to figure out what they've really got in Caleb Williams. Now, I can't imagine that they're going to go make a meaningful move at quarterback. They're stuck with him now. They gotta figure this thing out. They got what they need. The coach they really need, Zabe,
yeah,
is Dave Canales, is who they need.
Really?
If you can turn around Bryce Young's career, you know, imagine what he could do with somebody with that gifts of Caleb Williams.
Okay, hold on a second. We got a short sample size of the Bryce Young revival tour. I want to see more of this movie. I'm impressed that he is turning it around for now, but it's been, what, 7 games? Maybe not
games.
Even.
Yeah. Yeah. About good games. Yeah. You know, and that's, but you know what?
No, since he was made starter again.
Yeah. About that. And you know, he's been really good. I mean, not great. Don't get me wrong. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, he's been like a 7.5.
Right.
But that's from where he was, which is like 2.5.
Right.
I mean, Bryce Young is looking like an NFL quarterback out there.
Here's the thing, as is the case with Geno Smith, as is the case now with Sam Darnold, as was the case with Baker Mayfield, all of us, especially people like me in the chattering class that want to bloviate, were too quick to write guys off. I wrote Baker Mayfield off when he was in Carolina. Washed up, done, had his moment in Cleveland. He's a deluxe version of Johnny Manziel, douchebag, arrogant, commercials, blah, blah, blah. Totally wrong. Guy's a baller. His teammates love him in Tampa. And I do not want the Packers to face him because he tore their ass apart last year at Lambeau Field. Same thing for Sam Darnold, who I thought was a complete Todd, seeing ghosts on the sideline with the Jets. I'm like, yeah, good luck, George. Sam Darnold's going to stink for you. Wrong as rain. Guys can make comebacks. So I don't want to bury Caleb Williams yet.
But I wouldn't bet
long on him either. I just wouldn't.
It all depends on the situation you put a player. It's so obvious, Sam.
It depends.
Yeah.
If Caleb Williams is unwilling to do what it takes to be an NFL quarterback, curtail his running, stop being such a drama queen, and actually learn how to play the position, then he's got a shot. If he doesn't do any of those things, nobody will be able to save him. You were saying.
So much of it depends on the coaching that you put around the player. Sam Darnold have done what he's doing right now if he'd have found himself, I don't know, pick a team in Jacksonville?
Sure.
No.
Probably not.
I don't think.
You need a good team, good structure, good weapons, by the way. It helps to throw.
Well, it does help. But look, weapons. Caleb Williams has the weapons.
I know he does. But he's young.
He's got the weapons.
It's early.
It hasn't changed anything.
I know.
You know?
Well, is it safe to say that if they redrafted the quarterbacks this year, he would not go 1-1? Or no, Woody still. The NFL, the league loves the physical attributes because they say, well, we can't coach him a guy who is 6'5", or this or that or arm or elusive. So we're going to trim up what he doesn't do well now, mate it with his innate natural ability, and boom, we're good to go.
I'm going to run you through Sam Darnold's coaches prior to Kevin O'Connell.
Okay.
Todd Bowles, Adam Gase, Matt Rhule, Steve Wilkes.
No bueno.
Now, I think that's a lot of it. Now, you know, clearly Jaden Daniels.
Bowles is good. Bowles is good, but he's a defensive guy.
He's a defensive guy.
And, okay. Yes, Gase is a bug-eyed weirdo who should have never been given the job. They should have fired him the day that he gave his presser and his eyeballs started going all wacky. They should have said, look, we made a huge mistake. We're going to buy him out. Like, never mind. We got our new coach in a week. That's what they should have done then. Matt Rhule was not built for the pros. Okay. So he's back in college. And then the last one you named as his coach?
Steve Wilks.
Wilks was an interim guy. Wilks is a good interim guy. Now, the thing, though, is that they say Shanny shined up your boy, that this is the Shanny rehab project on good old Sam Darnold. Do you buy into that?
Well, I do, and I think Shanahan helped. But here's where here's the connection that most casual listeners don't have any reason to know. Well, hardcore listeners, you only have hardcore listeners. Casual football fans have no reason to know. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM of the Vikings, came from San Francisco. Presumably, the people in San Francisco told them, "Hey, look, Darnold's legit, right? We've spent a year with Sam Darnold. The guy can play. He's coachable. The arm talent is real." At that point, a year ago, they were committed to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy looked like the future for San Francisco. Now it looks like San Francisco let the wrong guy go. And Brock Purdy, who knows what his situation is going to be with San Francisco going forward. That's still up in the air.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
All right, last thing for you, Church, and I've already delivered to you the Dave Chappelle Show skit on Prince you did not know existed. I apparently this week introduced you to Balloon Boy in Vikings history, which you also had never heard about.
No.
I only had heard a tiny snippet of the story in which they showed that prior to a game in a torrential snowstorm, and I'm using torrential accurately, because it was snowing like crazy. The old Met Stadium, a young boy, an 11-year-old boy, floated away on a demonstration balloon and gondola from the 50-yard line and went over the light stands into a semi-frozen river, the Minnesota River.
This is a hot air balloon.
Yeah, hot air balloon with a gondola on it that he floated away. There is NFL Films footage of the boy, and they narrate, "And a young boy was carried away in a balloon before the game and had to be rescued from the Mississippi River." Okay?
Yes.
That's all I had ever heard. That's all I ever knew.
I hadn't even heard that.
Right. You hadn't even heard that. Then, oh my God, they did the 7-minute and 21-second behind the music story of this episode, and it's a gobsmacker. Take a listen to one quick minute.
So the balloon started lifting off the ground a little faster, a little further than I had expected. And I didn't feel the tug at the end of the rope like I was expecting. And I looked down and I realized that the rope was not connected to the balloon and that I was actually free flying and watching
this is the guy who was 11 at the time. Full footage of this,
by the way. The lights are on in the stadium.
Yeah.
And I was really concerned about flying into that, because it's 2,000 degree lights and that would have been the end of it. I realized that I was going to actually fly between two of the light standards and I was going to be okay. But the balloon kept rising. And I thought at some point in time I would start to come down, but it kept rising and rising and rising.
Kept going up. So, this guy, he tells the story of what it was like, and it is riveting.
I watched the full 7 minutes of it. They underplayed how close they were to a tragedy here.
Of course.
What you need to understand, this is 1970s Met era, middle of winter. It looks like it's about 2 degrees outside. An 11-year-old in a hot air balloon ends up being untethered and floating out of the stadium. Now, he says he's near the airport. He's across the street from the airport, right? I mean, this hot air balloon could easily have run into a jet. They mentioned that he could have run into power lines. There are power lines all over the place.
Right.
He could have run into a power line and died. He ends up in the Mississippi River. This is not like a small little creek. This is a rushing, freezing river that easily could have killed him. And he pulls himself out of the Mississippi River, Zabe.
I think they said it was the Minnesota River. Is there a Minnesota River?
Minnesota. Okay. Minnesota River also. Huge river.
So said, the guy said, he's like, well, it was like a big slushy mess. It wasn't fully frozen over. Had he landed on the frozen river, that would have been easy. He could walk right off. He said he had to swim his way through a giant slurpee, basically, in the middle of the river because the balloon dumped him out and then took right off again because the weight was not in there. So I was like, all right, here you go, kid, you're done. And he said a local like birder was out taking pictures and saw him and helped rescue him and get him back to the stadium. They said when he got back to the stadium, it took a while for their parents to be notified that we found him because they had already run out of the stadium on a search party to try to find him. And because there weren't cell phones, they didn't know until they got back and found out their boy had been plucked out of the river. Incredible stuff.
Exactly. Yep. It's an amazing story.
And then the Vikings went to the Super Bowl in 69 and they did a similar balloon stunt before the game against the Chiefs. And that balloon crashed into the side of the stands. And the guy wearing a very cheesy Viking costume was tossed all about and they had to like climb on the balloon to like get it under control. You would have thought they would have said, no more balloon shit.
Right. Might not want to do that.
That NFL charge was wild and organic and dangerous. Today's NFL is a greedy corporate pig fuck. But we're here for it. Just like Guillotine Leagues is the only way to go. You are out of our Guillotine League for the whiskey, correct?
Yeah, I'm out of the whiskey Guillotine League, tragically. I'd like to be. This is the one I want to win more than any other. I finished second to stupid Josh. Yeah. Still bitter about that.
He won back-to-back years. We had to kick him out because we knew he's a beer guy. And we're like, you don't need all this whiskey. Get out.
I think you should have to finish all 17 bottles and prove you drank them and didn't pour them out.
And
before
for a lot
you
of,
can go back in the next year.
And for a lot of our guys, that amount of proof is not a hard lift, right?
that is true. Right. Big Mike, no problem.
No problem.
That's called
JB,
done by April.
No problem. Mr. X, no problem. Brad Turner, no problem. All right. Church is always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.